Today's broadcast is pre-recorded.
Okay, the first article that I have up this morning, these are just things that interest me. And of course, a lot of the things, and everybody already knows that if you listen to me on the radio or if I speak to you in person, I'm completely biased. I have a huge bias inside of me. I tend to be so biased toward natural things that God has made, and I'm very biased in recommending those over things that could be potentially extremely toxic and cause a very negative, bad effect. What's the worst negative side effect of all? Well, you could die. And so whether someone is taking an antibiotic and they've had a near-death experience, or somebody is taking a drug and their heart completely stopped, or they took a vaccine and the result was death, well, I'm not for that. I like the idea of you living. And as a matter of fact, I like it so much, I want you to actually enjoy life to the fullest. What if every day that you're here on earth, you could experience such great, deep gratitude and satisfaction and just pleasure from being able to do the very thing that you were created for? Now, this is not just my opinion, but it's just one opinion. But I think that we are created for worship. And I think that we were created to do a great work while we're here on this earth. And so, if you don't have your health, it's going to be hard for you to do all the things that God has put upon your heart to do. And so if your health is not great, well then, let's find a way to promote the idea of rejuvenation and healing and repair. Do you agree that God designed the body to heal itself? Well, you're probably not going to listen to this program if you don't think that. And so listen to this right here. Have you ever heard of a substance called black cumin seed or black seed oil? Okay, here we go. Researchers divided 183 people into, that had a mild form of the COVID or COVID-19. They put them in two groups. The subjects took two capsules daily for 10 days, each containing 500 milligrams of black seed oil or black cumin seed. What's it called? Black cumin sativa, something like that. In total, the subjects took 1 gram of black seed oil a day. And let me see if I can cut through some of this. Well, you might find this interesting. I don't know. It said the main components of black seed oil are, number one, linoleic acid, and then thymoquinone. Now, that one I'm going to have to look up and research or study more upon that. But any time that I see the word thymo, I always think of the thymus gland. And you may have heard me say in the past that the thymus gland, that is the master control gland of the entire body. If you want things to go well with your health, you need a thymus gland that's doing its job and working. As a matter of fact, one of the things that your thymus gland produces is RNA. That's known as ribonucleic acid. Let me think about this just for a second. What do you need RNA for? That's right, repairing. And see, that's what health is. If you can make repairs as fast as something breaks down, then you'll have no symptoms of any kind. But when your tissues or your cells break down at a faster rate than what they can repair, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have a bunch of symptoms that you don't like. So if you have symptoms, that means your body's not repairing very well. So enter the thymus. So it's interesting to me that one of the components of black seed oil or black cumin seed is thymoquinone. I'm going to look that up. Okay, here's a study. I'll make it fast and to the point. The researchers monitored the subjects for 14 days. They had COVID, by the way. They recorded how quickly the subjects recovered from their infection. Okay, are you with me on that? And so of the subjects who took the black seed oil capsules, 62% recovered during the study, and in the control group, only 36% did. So Let me see if I get this right. If you take just a little bit of black cumin seed oil, you recover faster. And, this is the part that I thought was interesting, because I've had this question so many times, and this is just another way to, you have the slot in your brain that you file information away. Well, you might want to file this away. It says when the researchers looked at the individual symptoms, they saw that supplementation with black seed oil or black cumin seed especially accelerated the return of smell and the disappearance of a runny nose. Have you heard of anybody losing their sense of smell or taste, or somebody that has a continual runny nose following COVID? Well, guess what they found? The black cumin seed oil did the trick. That comes from the journal called Complement Therapeutic Medicine, 2021, September, volume 16. And there's two more articles I started to look up. Here's the other two articles. Antiviral effects of Nigella sativa. That's the scientific name of black cumin seed. It says antiviral effect of Nigella sativa protects COVID patients. There's a different one right there. Here's another article. Antiviral effect of Nigella sativa may protect COVID patients. I'm going, okay, those are two more articles that I can look up and see what they have to say. So, yes, I am telling you about a substance called black cumin seed. It's a plant that grows. If you want to call it an herb, so be it. It sounds like a winner. Now, this next one right here, I like this one a lot. And this one is such a strange study. I thought to myself, how are they going to be able to do this study? But anyway, the title of this article, I'm not going to read all the researchers, but it says biological, psychological, and social predictors of longevity among Utah centenarians. We're talking about the state of Utah, not Utah. Okay, so let me start off here. This one's a quick one. If you've already reached the age of 100 but you want to get a little bit older, what can you do? Well, it says make sure you sleep well and experience life as satisfying as possible. This is from this comes from researchers from Brigham Young University in the United States, the state of Utah. They studied the data of 268 residents who lived past the age of 100. I mean, yeah, there's a lady I go to church with. She's 101. Isn't that amazing? That's totally amazing. The data was collected between the year 2007 and 2015. When the researchers brushed out all the possible confounding factors and interactions with statistics in the table below on the right, which I'm not going to read the table to you, it's too much, they found that the 100-plus with the longest lifespan differed in two respects from those that made it to 100-plus with shorter lifespans. I know, it's crazy. One was that if you lived to over 100 with the longest lifespan, then typically you tend to fall asleep very quickly after getting in bed. So think of it this way. When you lay on your bed and you put your head on your pillow and it takes less than 10 minutes to drift off into deep sleep, that is a very, very good sign. Of course, what I'm thinking of is, what if you're younger than that and you have a hard time falling asleep? Well, we may have some issues that need to be addressed. How can we correct that? How can we improve it? Let's make it better. And this was the point number two that they found. And these are the top two points. The other point was that ultra-agers among the over 100s, they still found life worth living. You know what that means, folks? That means that their life, they had tremendous satisfaction and gratitude. Have you ever talked to somebody that was relatively young and they would say things like, I just want to die? Okay. I don't know if you know this or not, but this last year has been the highest record of 4 to either 10 or 11-year-olds that have taken their lives and committed suicide. That is just so hard for me to swallow. that a four-year-old could figure out a way to end their life. And for all I know, maybe they take some of mama's pills or something like that. I don't know. Or dad's pills. It's just so horrible. I mean, life is just so fabulous and precious because God made it that way. Okay, let me just read this and I'll get off this article right here. The researchers initially, and see, this goes to show you that I'm not the only one that's biased, but I am biased toward things that don't cause harm. Finding ways to heal the body without poisoning the body or destroying it. So the researchers, they went into the study and they initially expected that physical health would be a significant factor. Okay? For example, they expected that the centenarians would live longer as they used more drugs. You see what they're saying? Well, obviously these people are living longer because they're taking more drugs. Well, guess what? That was not the case. The two top factors were they fell asleep quickly and they had a tremendous love of life. Okay, you got that? That's pretty good, isn't it? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Morning, Dr. Morgan. You doing all right?
I'm doing great, thanks. How about you?
Doing fine. We've got two subjects I would like to talk about. A friend of mine, I think he's 82, 83, and my wife's taking care of an elder lady that's 95. They have a bad problem with moles. It seems like they pop up like mushrooms.
Well, that's an internal deal.
That's what I thought, but
well, but what do you want me to do for a 95-year-old woman and an 83-year-old man?
Well, is there anything they can do to keep getting those moles or take?
I'm going to play a different angle on this. There are studies that show, and I'm trying to think, where did I read this information? The information that I'm thinking of, can I tell you how they got it?
Yes,
do you remember when they first developed photography and they would take a picture? They'd probably put some gunpowder on this rail and they'd say, smile. And they would light up the gunpowder and try to make a big flash so they could take like a high quality picture.
Yes,
but the pictures would be kind of a sepia kind of color. You've seen old photographs from like the 1800s, haven't you?
Yes, I've got one of my grandpa's probably about 1910. I mean, about
yes.
1890.
Yeah. Tell me what the color looks like. What are the colors on the photograph of your grandfather?
Yeah, they're kind of a yellow looking.
Maybe some browns and yellows in there?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So what in this one study that I'm thinking of, all they did was they looked at moles on a person's face, and then they would look at them later in life. And they noticed that those that had the most moles, they lived longer than anybody else. I know that sounds bizarre, but one thing that a mole can represent, it can represent your body's attempt at removing some impurity from inside and pushing it to the outside. Does that sound totally radical?
I think that's the problem. I don't think it's because of the other.
Yeah, and you know what? How many people have you seen in your lifetime where they looked really, really good on the outside, but on the inside they were full of cancer?
Yes, sir.
And I've seen that so many times, and there's a lot of people that when you look at them on the outside, if a doctor doesn't think through this, or a nurse, or anybody, they might go, there's no reason for me to pursue anything because they look good. Well, sometimes looks can be deceiving, because if a person looks great on the outside, but they feel horrible, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh my goodness, you have stage 4 metastatic cancer. It's spread to the liver, the lungs, the brain, and the bones.
Yes, sir.
And so when you have a mole that comes up, that does mean the body is trying to improve what's going on the inside. It's trying to push something that could be of a toxic quality to the outside of the body. So I don't really know off the top of my head what I would say other than let's keep helping the body push stuff out. Now, do you know where I really want to go with this topic? I want to talk about the thymus gland. And let me give you a few ideas. In the past, if I've seen a person that their skin was really rough, or the skin was really dry, or they were prone to like rashes all over the place. And that's what happens when your thymus gland is underperforming. You're going to have rough looking skin, dude.
Yes, sir.
So if you need to sand down some lumber, you know, scrape the paint off of it, we could just rub the skin all over just like sandpaper. I'm just joking by saying that. But what you would do is you start going, okay, what's at play here? Is it just the skin, or are other systems of the body going to suffer too? Well, you already know the answer to that. If your thymus gland is not working and not doing its job, that's going to adversely affect, A, your entire immune system. Number two,
yes,
the ability of your body to make repairs. And so let's just say somebody has a continual back pain that never goes away. They've tried everything. They've gone to the chiropractor, massage therapist. They've had injections. They've had surgery, but the pain is still there. Well, maybe there's something that they've overlooked. And the thymus gland can be one of those. But the reason I bring up the thymus gland is because guess what it does? It pushes things out of the body that don't belong. So it's very common when somebody starts taking what's called thymus extract, and hopefully this is not going to gross anybody out, but usually what they do is when they take a calf to the meatpacking facility or, you know, processor, they remove the thymus gland, either freeze-dry it or dehydrate it, and then put it into a capsule or a tablet form. But when you swallow that as a human being, guess what happens? It starts directly feeding and nourishing and healing a thymus gland that's underperforming. And so if you start to go, oh my goodness, my skin's looking a lot better, that's because the thymus is doing its job.
No wonder I look so good, Dr. Morgan.
You know what? I was just about to say that. For 107, you are one gorgeous hunk of man, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I do. I started taking that about 2 months ago, and I'm going to keep taking it.
Did you really start taking that 2 months ago? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that you've seen anything that you might say is an improvement since you started taking it?
Well, I just overall feel better.
Well, that's worth something.
Yes, sir.
You know, in the what? How do you think God designed the body? When something's not working right, you feel bad, don't you?
Yes, sir.
But when you start feeling better, you might go, oh, man, I might be on a good track here. Maybe I should keep doing this a little bit longer.
Well, for all I know, if we can get those two people to take that, it couldn't hurt for sure.
No, and can I tell you a story real quick? I'll try to make it fast.
Yes, sir. Oh, go ahead.
A gentleman told me that his wife died mysteriously. She had gone to the emergency room the day before, and the family was very disturbed, and I don't blame them at all. But there was an autopsy that had been ordered to try to determine what the cause of death was. And I know you know what an autopsy is. It's just a way where they can open and take a deep look at all the structures of the body, like the heart and the lungs. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And so I read the report from the doctor that performed the autopsy, and you know what the number one thing was that jumped out at me? The doctor made the comment that he looked and looked, but he could not find the thymus gland. Now, let me tell you what that means. That means she didn't have one. What that means is her thymus gland had completely atrophied to the point that it couldn't be visualized, which means it was gone. And so let me tell you what happens. When you lose your thymus gland, you're gone. I'm telling you the truth. Now, let me tell you what destroys the thymus gland. And who cares if I step on somebody's toes? This could save your life. Splenda, sucralose, aspartame, NutraSweet, saccharin, asulfam-AK. I'm sure I left out some other ones, but you know what these are? Man-made artificial sweeteners, but they are poison to the thymus gland. So, I mean, I went round and round with a guy this week. He was trying to explain to me how fabulous his health was, but he's drinking. He only drinks 4 Coke Zeros a day, and I'm going, sir, can I, and you know, we looked it up. I said, look at this article right here. This is how you destroy the body. Well, I really go to see a brilliant doctor, and he hasn't told me to not do it. I'm going, okay, well, do you believe this article right here? It's just difficult because diet soft drinks, the artificial sugar is a clear-cut way to destroy your thymus. And guess who suffers? The person drinking the diet soft drinks.
Yes, sir. And the Coke company gets rich.
I haven't seen them go broke yet. Have you?
No, sir.
You know what? There was an article that I read recently showing if these large manufacturers, if they just didn't... That's kind of negative. I'm going to drop that topic. Anyway, you already know how you can make up your own mind if you're going to drink soft drinks or not. I don't think it produces great health at all.
No, it doesn't, one way or the other. So, you got corn syrup in one and the other bad stuff in the other.
Both of them are man-made. You'd never find them otherwise.
No, sir.
There's no way you're going to walk through a field and go, oh, man, here's a plant full of high fructose corn syrup. You know what I read the other day? It's just so ridiculous. They have these sports gels and sports drinks that are filled with high fructose corn syrup. And they said, oh, my goodness, look at these sports drinks that are rehydrating people and giving them energy. They're so fabulous. And so what they did was they compared them against one substance that's found in nature. It begins with it's a fruit that begins with the letter B. Do you want to guess what fruit begins with the letter B?
Bananas?
Yep. Guess what? Bananas outperformed the sports drinks. Can you believe that?
Well, I know they're full of potassium.
Well, that would be one thing that's in there, but my point is something that grows natural in nature outperforms something that's artificial. Whereas the banana is alive, the sports beverage is dead. So that would be one way of saying it. So let me know what happens with your thymus and your people that are in their ninth decade of life and 10th decade of life.
Yes, it won't take but a second. That poor lady that's 95, my wife is her health. She goes and helps her. Well, she found her using a coat hanger to scratch those moles. They itch so bad.
We could always try castor oil.
And she does it till it bleeds.
Yeah. Well, and that's what happens. Your skin itches horribly when the thymus gland's not working right.
Okay, that's a good one, sir. I'll leave you alone.
Now,
you have a blessed day.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
I tell you what you should be concerned about. If this is your wife's job, she may be out of a job if the 95-year-old woman completely heals. Did you ever think about that? I'm just joking. Come on. Okay, good morning. Thank you for your phone call today. How are you?
Hello.
Yes, hello. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, but I'm having my phone bleed through the station. Hold on, see if I can turn the radio off.
Yeah, that's the whole key right there. If you'll turn the radio off, it'll get rid of that background reverberation.
Okay.
There you go.
Hold on.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
You hear me?
Yes, sir. I sure can.
Okay. My name's Mike. I've listened to you for years, and I have some close friends that have a young boy that's 2.5 years old or so, and he has a severe case of diaper rash. Is there anything we can do to help this young man?
Yeah, the first thing that you want to do is you want to start feeding the kid bone broth. If they can just give him like a cup of bone broth, it could be beef or chicken, he can start slurping on that. The other thing we have to do is just figure out what allergies the kid has. And my top one with diaper rash is going to be dairy products and sugar. And
that's
so if,
what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because he has ear problems, he has runny nose.
Yeah.
All
that's,
the signs of a milk, you know, or dairy.
Mike, you're right on track, buddy. And so if the kid had no more Bluebell ice cream or no more, I can't remember the name of there's a restaurant that's known as the Christian Chicken or God's Chicken. I can't remember the name of it.
Right.
Yeah, they make milkshakes. Do you remember the name of that restaurant that's called Christian Chicken?
No, sir, I don't.
Something filet. I can't remember. But anyway, yeah, maybe that one. But you don't want milkshakes. The kid does not need any milk products mixed with sugar. That's probably
right.
Contributing to just a horrible diaper rash. And, of course, what I would do and probably what somebody else might do might be two different things, but let me have a go at this, okay?
Okay.
I mean, can you just imagine the misery that the kid is in?
Yeah, well, that's what gets me. I was over there last night. Every time I go over there, the poor child runs from him when he's fixing to get the diaper changed because he knows.
Well, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And what got me was the mother said, I forgot to mention it when I was at the doctor. I was like, Jesus, if it was your hiney, you would mention it?
I mean, I think you're making a very good point.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's upsetting to me to hear the child scream and holler just because it has to have a diaper change, you know? And he screams the whole time. It just, you know, grinds my gears.
Well, no. And the thing of it is, you have a heart of gold, and you're concerned about your fellow man, so there's nothing to apologize for there. You're a great man. Now, I'm going to just discuss this simply with you. If we could just give the kid fruit instead of sugar, that would be a step in the right direction. So... skin.
The whole family has a severe diet of sugar, you know.
Yeah.
They're overweight. And I've been listening to you for years, and, you know, you've been talking about for the past 3-4 weeks going and giving blood. I did that. I'm doing what you tell me. And I'm telling you, it's
good. You tell me what happened to you after you gave blood. How'd you feel?
Well, the first day I felt kind of Droggy a little bit, but
that'd be normal,
you know.
But you don't, you're not worse for wear, are you?
No, I'm getting better every day. I'm going to a chiropractor.
Good job, man.
Getting some insoles. I have flat feet. These are some new things. These people, foot levelers, they've been in the business for 70 years. I've never heard. He took like a photostatic copy of my feet. He stand on this machine, and it sends it off to their computer systems. Analyze anyway. It cost me about $400, but it's worth every penny. I'm having to relearn how to walk. My feet are starting to walking on the balls of my feet, my toes. I mean, thank God. You know what I mean? It's
well, you're moving in the right direction, aren't you?
I've lost. I moved to Minnesota a couple years ago. I lived in East Texas all my life. Well, 30 years. And anyway, I still listen to you guys every day.
Why did you move to Minnesota for?
My wife had a severe case of allergies. She couldn't handle the mountain cedar. I was in Athens and had some property out there. And so she moved up here a couple years ago, and I've been down there dealing with the property and working, you know, and that's all I was doing, working at work and working at home. I struggled for a couple of years, and I kept praying. And the pandemic come along, the so-called coronavirus, whatever, and the land went crazy, the prices. And I'd been praying. I mowed and kept the place looking like a golf course, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I just knew that someday it was going to pay off. So I made a good nest egg and paid all my stuff off, moved up here, and it's been the best move I ever made.
Well, good for you. I'm so happy for you.
You know, God's great. You know?
Amen to that. Well,
I love listening to you.
Well, thank you very much.
And I like helping people, and I want to help this young man.
Is he in Minnesota?
Yes, sir.
Well, I started to say what you do with a 2.5-year-old is you just let him run around the house without clothes on. You got to let all that stuff air out. I didn't say call the news over so they could photograph everything. But you got to let them air out, and if you got to make sure that they just have a chance to air out. But there's everything from castor oil to extra virgin olive oil that you could rub on there. You could even take like a little bit of avocado, you know, and just rub on there. I guarantee you the skin will soak it up.
And I use a lot. I had a boil come up on my waistline on my right side, and I learned from you a long time ago to put natural honey on it, stuff like that.
Oh, man, that's a godsend, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Milk and honey is what you said, and I'm a firm believer.
I can tell you right now, I am really upset about this because my pulse rate is 81 beats a minute. This is really upsetting me. So normally it's not that high, but I'm just sitting here doing nothing, and my pulse rate is, it's 85 beats a minute now. Well, because I'm thinking about the boy, just like you.
Oh, it just tears me up inside.
Well,
I'm thinking, God, why don't y'all do something for
well,
the kids?
Well, you know what? They're incompetent, and I hate to say it that way. And they need some help. Well,
you know, and I've told them about your program, and I've told them, and you know, it's like they won't listen. I don't, you know.
No, I know. The solution is so easy. We could just take him off sugar and give the kid cod liver oil, and his bottom would clear right up.
Take him off. Run that by me one more time.
Well, if you just give the kid cod liver oil and get him off sugar and probably dairy products, his little bottom will clear like up, and it'll look beautiful like a 2-year. Well, when I say beautiful, I just mean the skin looks healthy and normal and radiant. Yeah, well, and I realize now, I'm just telling you, maybe somebody else can be helped by this information, but the parents themselves, they really don't have the motivation to even take care of themselves, do they?
No, not really.
Well, but you're friends with them. Don't underestimate the power of one person. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the store, and I want you to buy mangoes. I don't know if they have mangoes in Minnesota, but you're a wealthy man. I just learned that a while ago, so you can fly them in from Jamaica. So if you bring mangoes over there, just say, if the kid eats this instead of that, let's see if it heals his bottom. And you know what? You're going to look like a genius. And then number two.
You know, I've suggested to him before, I said, why don't y'all take him off dairy products? Just see.
Yeah. Well, tell him I said so.
It doesn't make a dent, you know. Their mother and mother-in-law told me that you didn't know what you're talking about.
They're partially right about that. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't know, but this right here,
you do know, and I'm learning, right. And I know I'm a living proof.
Yes, you are.
Oh, you're losing weight. I weighed 290 pounds when I moved up here. I was eating McDonald's every morning. You know, just doing the single guy working hand to cane, falling asleep, driving to work. And I don't care if it's daylight or dark. It didn't matter. You know, it's a miracle I'm still here.
It is.
I kept praying, dear Lord, please help me, you know. And he did. And, you know, it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And look at what you've done. You're willing to listen. And so you're doing a great job of taking care of yourself. Way to go.
I love helping other people, you know.
Well, and
that's what we're supposed to do.
Yes, it really is what we're supposed to do. And so you can go over there with confidence and take them a bag of oranges, and you can take them some mangoes and some avocados and some fresh eggs. And if the kid eats those, his little bottom will just clear right up.
Right. Well, they tried the old remedy. Their grandfather mentioned it. There's something they used years ago. I can't even remember what it was. It was cornstarch or something.
That's not a bad thing to try. That's really not. I'm proud. That's something that's not bad.
They didn't even stay with it. You know what I mean? As far as I know, they're putting nothing on there. The kids screaming bloody murder.
Years ago, I used to purchase this salve. It was called Plantain Golden Seal. Now that they could buy that off like Amazon.com, but it's called Plantain Golden Seal. Almost like the word plantation, but it's plantain, T-A-I-N.
P-A.
No, plantain is P-L, I'm going to spell it, here we go.
Okay,
plantain is spelled P-L-A-N, and then T-A-I-N, plantain, and then golden seal. It's kind of a green salve, but I have never seen anything work on diaper rash like that stuff. It's incredible.
Golden seal, where do you get this? At health food store?
Well, I just said Amazon.
Amazon?
Mm-hmm. Now, you've never heard of Amazon because you're in Minnesota, and people from Minnesota...
No, I've heard of it.
Oh, you've heard of it?
I'm not much of a geek. I'm an old school.
Well, that makes two of us. Plantain Golden Seal Salve is what we could rub on the child's bottom where it's rashy. You're not going to find anything else that'll clear it up faster than that stuff.
Okay.
You could order him a bottle of it for $11.95 and give it to him.
No, I'm going to go over and have a heart to heart with him this morning and tell him what you said.
Yeah.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I'm just going to tell him, for God's sake, for the kid's sake, please try something, you know.
Well, here's the way that you do this.
I should be deer hunting right now.
You really should. But what I want you to do is make the parents some chocolate chip cookies and fill them with, instead of chocolate chips, use X-Lax tablets that are like shaped like chocolate. And then when the parent gets all chafed and upset, then you can say, I wonder what... No, I'm just joking about that. Yeah, you need to be out deer hunting right now. It's your job to put food on the table.
This last week is gun season up here. And, you know, they have 2 weeks in a day.
Sir, if you can't imitate King David, he could get 5 smooth stones from the brook and use a sling to kill a deer. Or Goliath.
Well, you know, I was going to go yesterday, and my son-in-law called, and his car broke down. But he was just a new father the night before. And
that's well, congratulations.
I was babysitting for 2 days while Grandma was with Mama, you know. And so I've had a full plate, and then I said, okay, I let her sleep because she's up all night.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And then around noon, I said, okay, you're good, right? I can go hunt? Yeah, okay. Well, then son-in-law called. Hey, what are you doing? Well, I was going to go hunt.
What did you have in mind, my favorite son-in-law?
Well, I'm broke down. Oh, well.
Well,
okay, here we go.
Good man.
Anyway.
Well, is it snowing up there right now?
Yeah, it's the first. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know if you ever heard of Bruce Rudd. He's a good, close friend of mine. He's a preacher there in East Texas.
No, I haven't.
He's one of the best preachers. You've got to get him on your station, man. He's got that East Texas slang going on, you know, like this here, and he is just comical. I'm talking about, and yet he knows the Bible inside and out. I used to work with him at John Soul's Foods, and he was a contractor over there. He owned his own business. This is the second time in his life that he sold everything and went to be a preacher. You know, and the second time around, it stuck. He's in Mount Sylvan. Their church they're starting a $6 million expansion as we speak. The steel's going up. When he went there 4 or 5 years ago, it was just a little tiny church. The first year, they had to add on to the parking lot. I mean, he's amazing. And he, every day he would come to work because he reads the Bible every morning, you know, 30 or 45 minutes. And he'd come to work, and he said, Mike, I got to tell you this. This is powerful stuff. And he got to where I couldn't wait to see what Bruce had to tell me every morning. Yeah, I mean, he's just so, I mean.
But isn't that infectious, though? That's great.
Yes, sir. Oh, you know, the baby was tossing and turning, and they were talking about it, you know, coming out the wrong way, and he could be dead and all, and my daughter's just, you know, full of all this, and I said, don't worry about it, you know, and God will take care of it. And so anyway, I called Brother Bruce. They were going to induce labor, you know, last Thursday. And so I called him, told him what was going on. He covered her from before she was born. When she was born, the mother don't get depression. She keeps her female hormones where she loves the baby and does everything. He went through her marriage. He went through her children, her grandchildren, her great. I mean, you name it.
You mean he left no stone unturned in his prayer?
No, sir.
Wow.
He did not. And he said, you're going to have a very special little girl. Well, let me tell you something. It started snowing for the first time in Minnesota this year, that day, and I knew she was coming. I just knew it. Told my wife, said, you better go to the hospital because it ain't going to be long. Of course, he started contractions at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it went till 3:15 in the morning, but she finally came, and she is a very beautiful, healthy, young little girl.
Congratulations. What's her name?
It's Margot Michelle Flanagan, or Young, excuse me.
Young. Margot Young. That's beautiful.
Yes. It's, anyway, I'm very blessed, and God bless you, sir. I love listening to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call.
And I appreciate you. You're a good Christian man, and you like me. You like helping people.
Well, and you know what? You always have to risk being rejected, but then again, Jesus was rejected over and over, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
So keep up the good work. I'm really happy for you.
They hated me before they hated you.
Yep, totally.
Something like that.
Well, thank you for your call today.
Hey, thank you for what you do.
You're sure welcome. I enjoyed talking to you.
And like I said, you ought to look up Mr. Rudd, Bruce Rudd, his name, Mount Sylvan Church. He's gonna. In fact, he had a bout with cancer, and there's an article about him in the Tyler magazine.
Okay.
I forgot the dates and but such, but they did an article on him about how he went in there and the doctors pretty much said there wasn't nothing they could do for him, but God did something for him, and they couldn't explain it, but we all know what happened, you know. God wants him to be here for some more good stuff, that powerful stuff he talks about.
There you go. Well, thank you again, and I hope you have a great afternoon.
Well, thank you, sir, and I'm going to go see if I can help this young man get his hind end healed.
Good goal today.
Then I'm going to go kill something.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right, you can just go hunting at nighttime with a flashlight in Minnesota. I'm joking. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. I have a quick question. I have had a very small skin cancer on my side for several years. But if you give blood, they will ask, you know, have you ever had any cancer? And I assume that would mean a small skin cancer.
Well, is it a basal cell or a squamous cell?
Well, it's I've looked both of those up, and it's it doesn't have any color to it. It's like a light red color. It's not spotted, no black in it.
It's either a squamous or a basal cell then.
Okay.
Do you know what has 100% success rate? You can use a product called Curaderm. It's made from eggplant alkaloids.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Okay. And no, I don't know the other answer about that because I don't know what they really mean. But you might look it up on the internet to see if having a skin cancer doesn't meet their protocol for donation of blood.
Okay. All right. So it's Curaderm.
Curaderm. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's made from eggplant alkaloids.
Okay. Yeah, I studied alkaloids in biochemistry.
All right. Alkaloids. I don't even know what those things are.
Well, there are a lot of those are in plants.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Would you like to take a biochemistry final examination right now?
No, and
that makes two of us.
all those questions we used to have, you know, from observation of the electrolyte steroid cardiopathy is characterized by necrosis. You know, they ask questions like that, and I thought, well, I guess it's nice to do that doctor talk. I don't know how much that helps in the real life.
Well,
though.
The American diet is leading to chronic necrosis, I promise you.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it.
Death is eating people up. Well, thank you very much for your phone call.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, let me read this to you right here. This comes from, let me see, where is this? Where's my source? Rats. I can look it up, though. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. This is your friend from Pasadena.
Is this the Pasadena kid?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Are you the fastest gun in the West, part of Pasadena?
I don't claim to be that, but I'm pretty good at the slingshot.
That's really all that matters.
Oh, goodness. I got a little quick question. I took your advice by giving blood, and...
Where'd you go to give it?
I went to the Campus Christian Fellowship service one morning, and they had the blood coach out there, and I went in there after the service.
The blood coach. I'm sorry. That sounds like a football coach. Okay, get in there. Give some blood. On two. Hut, hut.
No, I was disappointed. I was about the only person I could see that did that morning. But
Oh, no. Does that mean very few went in?
Yeah, from what I could observe, there wasn't many people did that.
Well, they should have had a sign that said "Free Christian Chicken."
Oh, there you go. Can't beat that. Okay, I got a question. You say that's beneficial, and I did it. I hadn't done it since, but I guess I should keep it up, huh?
You really should. And if we were to go through the research on the number one cause of death and aging, it's always excessive iron. So you're on the right track.
Okay. Now, one other question I was kind of considering when this, when about this, when you say it's not good to take aspirin because you lose a pint of, I mean, a teaspoon of blood, is that correct?
Yeah, and I'm so sorry, but you just caught me red-handed.
I just didn't know how.
No, you did a great job there. And so, but here, can I tell you what I'm really meaning here?
Yes, sir.
There's going to be some people that they literally bleed out because of it. But I am going to tell you the truth, because I know that's what you're after. There are some people, when they take a baby aspirin, it does a great job of helping to leach out the excess iron from their body. So you are correct.
Oh, okay.
Or you may not know the direction that we're going, but I don't ever want to be guilty of just making it so biased and one-sided. And so let's just say that there's about 20,000 people a year to 40,000. They end up in the hospital getting 5 pints of blood because of aspirin. I mean, that's a little bit much.
Oh, yeah.
There's a brand called Extra Strength Vampire. You don't want that one.
No.
but taking a baby aspirin, it can help rid the body of excess iron. And there are studies to prove that. So I know that there's some benefit. But there's also some people, for reasons unknown, they literally bleed out internally. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I'm kind of covering it from, it can be beneficial, but it can also be harmful.
Okay, I see. Well, when I go out and trim my horse's hooves, I used to could all do them in one day, but I just turned 76 the other day, and I says, I'm not going to do all of them in one day. I won't pace myself a little more than I used to.
Wait a second. How many hooves are we talking about here?
Four hooves.
Four. Okay, gotcha.
And I was taking an aspirin before I did it because it kind of like, I felt like it was going to be maybe possibly beneficial in case at my age, and I overdid it, you know. But I just kind of reconsidered this.
Well, do you remember by chance what your hemoglobin was when they did a drop of your blood to measure it before you donated blood in the blood coach?
No. Should I have kept up with that?
Well, I was just hoping they would tell you. I mean, sometimes they do, because that would kind of give me an idea, because what you're, since men don't have menstrual cycles, they don't have this natural mechanism to release blood. And so they tend to accumulate iron, because that's what a lot of the food is based on, fortified, enriched with iron.
Okay.
So if you keep giving blood, what should happen is you should get stronger and stronger and stronger. I know that's disappointing to you, because you wanted a life of ease laying on the couch all day long, but I'm real sorry, but there's nothing but hard labor in your future. Did you know that you're a beast of burden?
That's the curse of the fall of man, I guess.
Well, sir, you're going to have to come terms with you're a pack mule. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir.
Now, since I've helped you, I'm going to need those GPS coordinates to where the gold is at the bottom of which waterfall and where the location is.
Well, everybody thinks I'm kidding, but I'm serious as a heart attack. I do know where gold is. One of these days, I might go up there and dive for it. Maybe take you along.
Wait, when you say dive, do you mean the word D-I-V-E?
Yeah, there is a window of opportunity to dive where I know gold is, up in the Koyukuk River up above the Arctic Circle up there.
Okay, now how do I spell that river above the Arctic Circle again?
It's called Koyukuk. I've always called it Koyukuk. But that's
Koyukuk? I can't even pronounce that. Is that like Spanish?
I don't know. It's a native word from up in Alaska, but I don't know.
Hey, can I ask you a serious question?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever seen Sasquatch?
I'm going to tell you the truth. I was riding my horse back from the 5G ranch over here in East Texas back in the 60s, and I'll never know what we saw, but my horse shied so bad I almost lost the saddle in the middle of the night. And it was something coming down the road at us that looked like its hands were swinging past its knees. We never did figure that out. And there was newspaper articles about other sightings, and nobody could explain what that was. But I did see something that I'll never be able to explain. from those days. And I do not believe in Sasquatch. I do not believe in Bigfoot, but I'll never know what that was. And
well, I believe you, because one time I was driving down the road on the side of this mountainous hill. There was this black thing running up the side of the mountain with its arms swinging. I'm going, look, there's Bigfoot. And I'm going, I have never seen anything move that fast, though. But it was what I was looking at was easily, I'm going to say, 900 to 1,000 yards away. It was incredible, though. But anyway, this program's all about healing and health.
You do a marvelous job, and I follow a lot of the things you've said, and every morning for many, many years, lemon water is what I take for anything else.
Do you know what the Japanese cure for constipation is?
Is it lemon?
Well, and that, yeah, that's where we're going with it. What you do is you make the warmest glass of lemon water that you can. And when I say warm, I don't mean 98.6 degrees, and so think of like a hot cup of coffee that would be drinkable. Not so hot that you burn your lips, but if you drink a really, really large glass of lemon water that's really warm, man, sometimes that is a golden remedy to curing constipation.
I'm glad to hear that. I use charcoal, activated charcoal every now and then when I feel like I've got food poisoning.
Did you have any problems with constipation when you saw that hairy beast with his arms swinging below his knees?
I was back to the ranch that night, and the other cowboys were already in bed. And I told them about it the next day, and they didn't believe me. And I said, well, I can't prove it.
Now, was this, what time of night was this?
Oh, this was early in the morning. I'd come back.
Oh, so does that mean the sun was just coming up?
No, it was still dark.
Okay. But was there moonlight?
No, I don't think it was.
But
it was
you could see something. It was it. Did it have two legs? Was it walking upright on two legs?
When Smokey saw it, I was about half asleep because I had been down at my girlfriend's visiting. I was on the way back to the ranch.
Oh, I see.
Smokey
okay.
She shied so hard that I just barely stayed in the saddle, grabbing the saddle horn, and it something scared her that bad. She's a country horse, I thought.
Yeah,
there is something that I don't understand.
Well, had that ever happened to you before on Smokey?
Well, I've been bucked off a few times, but never had a horse shy on me where I lost the saddle.
Oh my goodness! Well, I believe you.
But anyway, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call. I really do appreciate you.
And God bless you. Good day.
Thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate you. Have a good day now.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a quick question about statins. My wife was just prescribed, I think it was Avrostatin.
Yeah.
And we got cautions. We're cautious about it, and I thought I'd run it by you this morning.
Well, what are you concerned about?
Well, the side effects primarily, and a synthetic way to deal with cholesterol is not...
Well, let me tell you what I read this week. I had a man in my office that had skin infections on his skin, and we were just looking stuff up, so I was looking up pictures of what it looked like on the internet so we could give it a name. And lo and behold, there was an article from a doctor from Nigeria. And I told him, I said, hey, just because the guy is from Nigeria doesn't mean it's not true. And so what he did was, he did a study in the hospital in Nigeria, and what he did was, he prescribed blood donations. And as they gave blood, it lowered the amount of iron. And this was the secondary study. He said, you're not going to believe it. All the high cholesterol comes back to normal just with blood donations. He said, I can't believe it. I've never seen anything like it. And so you have to understand, when iron begins to rust and oxidize in a female or a male, usually it's going to be in a woman. It's after she goes through menopause. What will happen is the cholesterol always goes up in response to oxidation in the body or resting. It's just the way it is. I know I'm making it sound simple. And so if you give a drug to take care of excessive oxidation, you're not fixing anything. But if you give blood and lower the resting iron, then cholesterol comes down low. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. Okay. It just seems so simple.
Point, you know, I know. It's just almost ridiculously simple. Occasionally I have people that listen to me on these studies, but have you ever heard of a calorie restriction diet for longevity?
Nope.
Well, there's a group of people that say we want everyone in America to eat 1,200 calories or less to save the planet. Well, you can do that, but you're going to be starving all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure.
And so they have just figured out, why does a calorie restriction diet work? Well, number one, it lowers the iron load in the body. You have to understand that iron is literally the most toxic substance in the universe to a human being, because if you put rusting iron into a water-soluble body, you're going to get jillions of free radicals. You're going to have so much oxidation and rusting. That's what makes blood pressure go up. That's what makes your cholesterol become elevated. It destroys everything. So donating blood is one of those techniques that would probably very quickly cause your wife's cholesterol to normalize.
Yeah, well, we're very cautious about the statins from what we've heard, you know, on just other channels.
I see people every day. I don't even have to ask them. They tell me, Dr. Morgan, I tried taking this statin, that statin. This is a woman this week. She says, my legs hurt so bad, I'm so exhausted, it's untenable. I go back to the doctor and say, my legs hurt so bad, what do I do? Well, you keep taking the statins. Well, that's not really a real answer.
You hit their limit. It's showing now.
Could you imagine what would happen if all of a sudden people didn't take prescription drugs? Well, number one, it's been done before. And all of a sudden, everybody becomes radically healthy. See, that study that I read earlier about the super centenarians, people that live past 100, they just knew, the researchers said, we just knew it was because of the drugs they were taking. Had nothing to do with it. They weren't taking drugs. But they fell asleep quickly. That was their number one finding. And number two, they had a love for life. Life was worth living, which means their life had a deep meaning and satisfaction. How do you like that for a pill?
Yeah. Well, it's funny how oil and gas is now not the number one, money, Fortune 100 type deal. It's pharmaceuticals.
How about that? See, yeah. As Americans, we spend more money on healthcare than the entire world. But when it comes to a true statistics of how we fare, it's not good. We're like last.
Yeah,
exactly. And you know what? There used to be a time that people would actually read books, because reading makes you think.
Right.
So, anyway, I hope I helped you a little bit.
You did. Thank you for your time this morning.
You're sure welcome. I really appreciate you. And enjoy the rest of your day and go have a bunch of fun.
We're going to go and rejoice and be glad in this day, because Lord made it.
You are one smart man. I'm going to follow your advice today, and I'm going to follow your lead.
Right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. God bless you. Have a great day.